This is how powerful negativity is. You have to have literally 5 positive interactions to cancel out 1 negative one. This is this is a lot of interpersonal work. That's a rough estimate. Everybody's different, but that's like, this just, think about that weight, you know? That's such a crazy weight on this. So
Bell's got to do well for 5 seasons after he came in 2015. So it's, wait, so 5 seasons later, like, you should be drafting him this year, right? Ahoy, hoy, welcome to Head Games, the science and psychology of sports. I'm Dr. Brett Levine, joined with a special co-host today, our good friend, Dr. Thomas Chan. Dr. Chan is a professor of gerontology at Cal State Northridge. T. Chan, what's up?
Hello, Brett. How's it going?
Good, dude. Good. Nice to see you. How's things?
Yeah, acceptable. And you're, or I should just say meh, because the semester just started.
Right. Life is so good in the summer.
Yeah. COVID.
A brave new world.
Yes.
Well, thank you for filling in for Ben. I think Ben's drafting one of his 27 different fantasy football teams unavailable. Speaking of which, that's going to be the theme of today's episode. We're talking psychology and fantasy football. So we're going to go over some topics. We're going to talk about how psychology can either help or hurt you in drafting your fantasy football team. News? Do we have any news? The only news that I have is that football is obviously back. It's coming up this week. And therefore, this weekend is like the big, it's Labor Day weekend. It's the big fantasy football draft weekend. So we thought, hey, let's talk psychology and fantasy football. So here's how this is going to work. Like I said, we're going to talk about 3 topics and we'll bring them up and then we'll give you some guys that are related to that topic and tell you how it can help you or it can hurt you. I think if you're sort of like under the influence, I guess you could say, of some of these, these different topics. So I will pass it off to Dr. Chan and he can intro the first topic. He'll give some examples of some players he's looking at and then I will follow up.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Yeah, so first thing that everybody falls into a pitfall, including me, and I actually won my first fantasy football championship after 20 years of playing it because I recognize this in myself. It's called the negativity bias. We as humans focus more on the negative than the positive or the potentials. So somebody burns you, so for me, like an example would be Le'Veon Bell in 2014, right? He's a Jet now, of course, right? He's just haunting me always because I'm a Jet fan. But he had a monster 2014 and I drafted him in 2015 and then he got hurt. And I hated that. He ruined my season. I was like the cornerstone. And subsequent years, he did awesome, but I didn't draft him again, even though I had really great value picks in the subsequent years in 2016 and 17 to get him. Mm-hmm. Nobody, I didn't pick him because I have this negativity bias against him. And we all have these people that have burned us, you know, through your fantasy drafting career. So we put more weight. Usually it's 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 ratio on the negatives than the positives.
Why are we such a negative species? Is that based on survival?
Yeah, I think so. We're more risk adverse in general, you know? Well, this also goes to relationships. This is how powerful negativity is. You have to have literally 5 positive interactions to cancel out 1 negative one. This is this is a lot of interpersonal work. That's a rough estimate. Everybody's different, but that's like, this just, think about that weight, you know? That's such a crazy weight on this. So
Bell's got to do well for 5 seasons after he came in 2015. So it's, wait, so 5 seasons later, like, you should be drafting him this year, right?
Oh my God. Even though he's a Jet and I should be drafting him. Yeah. And I thought about it. Maybe that's why I like started to think about it. I healed a little bit, you know, but he still sucks, man.
All right. So the rule is, I guess for Le'Veon Bell is that don't let the past burn you. If a guy's good this year, if it's Bell, you know, and your notes are there and you want him, go get him. Anybody else?
Yeah. So similar, so another running back would be Todd Gurley, right? In 2015, he looks like an amazing rookie, right? And again, I drafted him in 2016 and burned. So he burned me, and in a bunch of leagues, he burned me. And in the subsequent years, I didn't pick him up. Even the same thing, you know, he comes down to you and you know you have that decision. Would you like, oh, wow, he's such a good value. And you just don't take him. And I still have that. And I still have him in my mind as somebody who kind of screwed me over that year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that negativity bias, literally, even though it got down to me and had that value pick,
yep,
I didn't do it because of that. It's a very psychological thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I got two guys and they're both Rams, and they didn't burn me so bad, but I felt scorned on some level. The first one is Robert Woods. So so this is last year, by the way. This is 2019 season. He had a pretty good 2018, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And he's burning me most of the year. He's averaging like 7.9 fantasy points per game. And from like a, you know, like a, he's a wide receiver two-ish, I guess, on the Rams last year. Mm-hmm. But you'd expect a little bit more. And he wasn't having great games. He had like one TD. And the Rams like shifted their scheme up or something like that. It was weird. Like Cooper Kupp was having a great year.
Killing it.
Like McVay messed around with things. And then, so right before they messed with the scheme, I trade Robert Woods. They changed the scheme up and Woods goes off. And I think it was after week 12, so 13 to week 17, mm-hmm. he averaged 12.7 fantasy points per game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, right after I trade the guy, they shift things up. Woods right now is going in the fourth round. And people are still like, I think people are excited about him. I think he's fairly priced. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm just like, I don't want to draft him. He burnt me so bad. I don't want to do it.
The power too of like, they don't necessarily have to get injured. Like at my people, I was focused more on injuries for the negativity bias, but your guy just burned you subjectively. That's just such a psychological concept that we deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. And same for the next guy, like healthy season, Jared Goff. He had a Pro Bowl 2018 year and he was going late in drafts in 2019. And I was like, thank you. I'll take that.
Yeah.
So in 2018, he throws for like almost 4,700 yards, 32 passing TDs, 310 fantasy points. So he's averaging like 19 fantasy points per game. Uh-huh. If you get a QB, especially late, who's averaging 20 points per game, thank you. Yeah, I'll have that. Yeah. Thanks. So I drafted him late last year. And by the end of 2019, he threw for about the same yardage. He was like 4,600 yards. So, you know, a little bit less. The TDs evaporated. He had 22 passing TDs compared to 2018's 32. So 10 less TDs.
Wow.
For a total of 247 fantasy points. And he was like 15 points a game. It's 5 points, which like you can say, what's 5 points? But like that's on average. And if a QB is averaging 15 a game versus like almost 20, or I guess that's 4 points. It's not five. But if you can get a QB who averages like 20 points a game and you don't have to worry about it, hell yeah. But like 15 is like, I could probably stream somebody who's probably a little bit better than this.
You could 100% stream somebody. Yeah.
But I'm burned. Right. And like, here he is again. He had, you know, he had a good 2018. He had a down year in 2019. Mm-hmm. Gurley's gone. They've got this, you know, young running back. The team is more or less the same. They lost Cooks, but he wasn't a big factor in the offense. I'm hoping he regresses back, but like he burned me so bad, I don't know if I want to draft him. Yeah. I want to do it.
That's just these things, these scars, we have to just get over them, I guess, right? To make it more objective. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to do me right for 5 years before I draft him again, I guess. So Jared Goff, 2025. You're on my fantasy team. I'll take that's negativity bias. I'll take the next one, which is also a bias. And it's one that, I hear a lot. I hear a lot in like the fantasy realm, both football, baseball, you name it, even just in sports in general. And it's pretty common. And I think it's also like really easily understood. It's called recency bias. And it's exactly what you would expect it to mean. It's basically this idea that you're going to remember something that has happened recently as compared to something that hasn't happened. And maybe that's just how our memories are built as humans, but like you always remember what a guy did in the previous week compared to like what he did like 5 weeks ago, or you remember what he did last season compared to two seasons ago. Here I am, and this is a negativity bias, but like I'm looking at Jared Goff being like, wow, he kind of burned me in 2019, and I'm not looking farther back in like 2018 when he had like a Pro Bowl season. So we are recency bias, and I think what also contributes to recency bias is that the best predictor for future behavior is past behavior. So we're not wrong to look back and be like, well, this guy had a great week seven. I think he's going to be, you know, I'm going to ride him, like put him on the, you know, put him on the team. He's going to maybe have a great week eight, right? Or he had a great rookie season in 2019. I'm going to draft him this year. So it's hard to kind of, this one's tough. Because it can, I think it's fair to say that like recency bias should be understood, but it can burn you.
Definitely.
So the examples I have here, and I think yours are going to be a little bit different, but the recency bias that I'm also focusing on here is injuries. And I've noticed this with the draft, where if a guy has an injured season, it's almost as if people remember it, but they don't remember the fact that he was injured. They just remember the fact that he only played like 10 games. Out of six. And there's like a discount in drafts. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, he's probably healthy now. Like, he didn't, you know, it wasn't a, you know, barring like a horrible injury, like, you know, these are minor injuries that kind of kept a guy out, but like, I'll take him. So the first guy I'll talk about is Adam Thielen. He had a hamstring injury, and I think it was like week 9 or something. And he sat out like, or no, it was like week 10 or something. He played like
late middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Or he played 10 games and he missed 6. So he missed like almost half a season. Right. It was a hamstring injury. I think he played with like a boot or something, or like some kind of brace in the playoffs. So it wasn't as if it was like season ending injury. It was like an injury, but it wasn't terrible. He's going 3rd round. He's the 32nd pick as wide receiver 11. Let me take a step back and get out of recency bias and talk about his 2018, where he ranked 4th overall with 113 receptions, bested only by Michael Thomas, Zach Ertz, DeAndre Hopkins. Wow. In 2018, he had more receptions than Julio Jones and Devontae Adams. He's going to be a target machine. So you're going to give him to me in the 3rd round? Yes, please. Thank you. I'll take it. I'll go running back and pick Adam Thielen, who's been forgotten because he didn't have a great 2019 because he was hurt. So,
yeah, especially with Diggs gone now. Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a good pick. Yeah.
Right. You're right. Yeah, Diggs is in Buffalo. They're not much of a passing team. That's a whole different story. My other guy, my second guy, and then we'll get to your guys. My second guy is Melvin Gordon. Ooh. And he not only had an injury last year, but he has the tag of being injury prone. And it's true. So last season, he played in only 12 games. And in 5 years in the league, he's only played in 16 games one time. So that's fair. You could say, look, the guy has some reason to not be on the field, whether it be injuries or something else. I think he was holding out too. He was a holdout.
Yes, he was a holdout. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's had, I think, an injury history as well. So there's some reason, there's some hesitancy that like, you know, this guy can't stay on the field. Well, he's actually never played less than 12 games in 5 years. So the injuries he's having aren't horrible. And in those, and when he does play, he's really efficient. He has an average of 15. Last year he had an average of 15 fantasy points per game in standard leagues last year. He's going in the 4th round for standard leagues. Again, I'll take him. You don't want him? I'll take him. Are you making notes?
Yeah.
Notes. You're like, all right, good. That's a good one.
Yeah, I got a couple of drafts.
We're not in
coming
any
up.
Leagues together, are we?
No, we're not. I got a couple drafts coming up, but you make some great points because actually staying on the Chargers for me, recency is Eckler. You know, he's Austin Eckler. Oh man. Well, we see that even though he only rushed for last year for 500 yards, he caught over 1200 yards. You know, that's so one thing I'm seeing in my other leagues prior though, people are getting him at round two for some reason, maybe because of the PPRs, right? A lot of these leagues I'm in, it is a high PPR league, maybe one PPR, 1 point per PPR, right? So, but Austin Eckler, that's just something people, I think, drafting too high. You know, that's what I'm seeing. Similarly, my second guy would be Lamar Jackson, even though he killed this last year, right? He had 1,200 rushing yards. He had 1,200 rushing yards for a quarterback and over 3,000 passing yards. Obviously he was the MVP, right? But the problem was teams are going to start scheming on that, right? But I see him drafted in the third round, the fourth round in my other leagues. I'm like, wow, because they're rationalizing it as he has running back potential. You know, those running back points, I also, in a bunch of leagues that give bonuses for long touchdowns. So, yeah, those are two recent people. The recency bias affects those people in the earlier drafts I have been in.
That's fair. I mean, I got to push back on the Eckler one, though. I think what's interesting is that especially for PPR leagues, he's like an asset because the guy catches a lot of passes and does the running. And now that Melvin Gordon's gone, he's taking the bulk of the duties. But last year, his rushing yards per attempt were 4.2. And over the last 3 years, he's been in the league since 2017. So 17, 18, and 19. His average is 4.8. And in 2018, he averaged just over 5 yards. So if he can get to his average, which is closer to 5, and he has full-time duties, and you're playing in a PPR league, I don't mind taking him in the second round. I don't know.
Really? Oh, I don't know. I just see him as like a – was that Washington running back? Chris Thomas, right? Oh, Chris, he reminded me of Eckler. You know, he had these Sports Center highlights like crossing across the field, right, and making these crazy runs, almost like a Barry Sanders. But he never panned out when he became an everyday back, you know, when he had those opportunities. So I don't know if I see that for Eckler.
Yeah.
But I guess the only time will tell, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is being archived on the internet.
Yeah. Recency bias. We could do some confirmatory bias. If I'm right, I'll just be like, hey, Brett, look at that, you know?
Point it out. See? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got the next one. Go ahead and get to our last topic.
Yeah. So the third one I see, and we both see, is the endowment effect. And this really has most relevance for dynasty leagues or keeper leagues, but also just for people you might like personally, right? People that you own, right? You put so much more weight on that than they're actually worth, right? That ownership gives you like a psychological extra weight. Think about it. So for me in dynasty, I'll give you the example of Antonio Brown. You know, I owned him and have owned him. I drafted him for over, I've had him for 5 years. And at some point, 2 years ago, I was offered three first round picks. And those are huge in dynasty leagues. And I wouldn't give him up, even though I was not in playoff contention or anything. I just wouldn't give him up because I'm like, maybe I want 4 first round picks. You know, it's AB, you know, and I put so much, looking back at it, I put just so much weight because I owned him. It was just like, wow, it wasn't worth it, right? So we all have this tendency to put so much weight on what we own. You know, unfortunately, I did the same thing for Jimmy Graham. You know, Jimmy Graham sucks, right? He's on Chicago now, right, I think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And he was on Green Bay, and then before that, he was on Washington. But he hasn't been that good of a tight end pick for Dynasty. Maybe in Seattle he had one good year, but he hasn't been that relevant, you know. But I not only have kept him, I just start him over all these people that I have that are much better. So that's part of this endowment effect. I just put so much weight on him. I kind of want him to work out, you yeah. know, especially if he's going to the Bears. It doesn't seem to so we just putting too much weight on that. How about you?
Yeah. No, and the endowment effect creeps up in you, and you know, it's not just obviously fantasy football, but in your life, like the example is always like, how much do you think your car is worth?
Oh yeah.
And if you ask anybody that, they're always going to say a number that's higher than probably what their car is actually worth based on like Kelley Blue Book or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's like this idea that like what we own or what is personal to us is somehow more value than what it actually might be. And we're all guilty of this. I mean, you mentioned your players. I'm guilty of this too. I've got two examples from last year. The first one is TJ Hawkinson, and I picked him in my two tight end league. And he's this young stud. You know, he's on a team that can be an electric offense, hopefully with, you know, Detroit and like, I guess with Matt Patricia, even though I guess he's more of a defensive guy, but like there's potential last year, even for that offense to have some fun. And he had a great week one. His week one, he was off. And I was like, this guy's great. He's a rookie. This is amazing. And I held on to him and I held on to him. I held on to him and I should have just let him go. And I mean, I think in a non-COVID season, you've got limited bench spots, and we're mm-hmm. talking about a sport where there's a lot of injuries. So your bench spots are precious. Yeah. And I think even more so this year, your bench spots are going to be so precious. You got to play fast and loose. I should have let him go last year. If I hit him this year and he does the same thing, I got to let him go. I just got to do it. And I got to, you know, go to the next person, because, you know, sitting on people just prevents you from finding somebody else who might be, you know, ready to have a good week, or might be the next best thing. And like, if you're, you know, you're overvaluing something that you really, mm-hmm. You know, hold close to you, that's personal to you, then it's like, it's hard to let go of. And I did research on him. I was like, this, you know, I was salivating, ready to draft him, because I was like, this guy's going to be, it's a two tight end league. He's going to be a stud. And like, it made it personal to me. And I couldn't relinquish it. The next one is similar to your Antonio Brown, and I'm going to get heat for this, and that's fine. But my example is CMC. It's Christian McCaffrey. And people are going to say, you're crazy. He's the best player in the league easily last year. He was amazing. He was carrying my team. But, you know, I'd watch games, and it's sort of, I mean, football is contagious in that way, where like when you play fantasy and you have a guy, like he becomes your guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I drafted him. I think we got the second pick, and somehow he fell to us. So it was great. But like, I felt like he was carrying our team. I felt like he was really just, you know, a part of like our team's identity, for lack of a better explanation, for our fantasy team. But we could have traded him. We had opportunities to trade him, and I didn't want to let him go because, you know, it felt like it was sort of like what our team was built around. Whereas to your point with Antonio Brown, we could have gotten a haul. Yeah. And, you know, I think it was hesitancy to, I don't know, just hold on to these guys that like, either if they're the TJ Hawkinsons where you scout for them and they're your guys and you pick them in the 15th round and you're going to ride them out, or it's your first overall pick. The idea of the endowment effect is that, you know, you hold on to those things that are like, are near and dear to you.
Yeah, too much. Too much. It clouds our judgment, especially you highlighted, there are people who play that waiver wire so well. We all have that people in the leagues, right? That play that waiver wire so well. So if you have an insight, like, oh, I got to ditch this guy, but keep him for too long, you're just missing out on a potential person on the waiver wire as well.
Yep. No, that's it. I mean, it's like, if you're better off like releasing a guy, then like, yeah, it's opportunities that you're missing out on because you're stubborn enough to say like, no, you know, like, I did all this research on him. I know he did well in college or whatever. You know, he had a great year last year, right? You explain it with like recency bias or something like that. And it's like, yeah, you got to look past it. I think these are all, and the reason we bring these up, and we said this in the beginning, is that either they can help you or they can hurt you. They can hurt you if you're not aware of these things as they're going on. Like if you're not aware of the fact that like the endowment effect is going on and you're holding on to TJ Hawkinson or somebody, it's going to hurt you. But you can also use it to your advantage by thinking that other people are going to behave that way. Mm-hmm. That like there is not necessarily like maybe there's some haters out there in terms of like negativity around a certain player because he had a down year last year, or if it was injury related or whatever it was, like my example of like Adam Thielen. And there's a discount in the draft. Take advantage of that. Or if like there's all this, like I remember last year there was all this negative news around what's his name? Oh my God. He had a great year. Derrick Henry. Jeez, why can't I remember his name? there was all this negativity around Derrick Henry. He had a great year.
Monster.
So it's like, if the idea is that, like, if you can take advantage of it, you can zig when others are zagging.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think the idea of, you know, these topics is really to, like, for you to be aware of it when you're drafting, but also to be aware of it in other people when they're drafting as well.
Yeah. Especially, I guess, one tip, you know how they have the check marks, the ups and down arrows when you see somebody uses a draft chart, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially those down ones, if you could see beyond the down, that frames people's like thought about that person. Yep. And you could probably scoop them up as a value pick.
Right. Right. I mean, let's talk about recency bias, right? There are guys who like aren't having a good training camp. So like, oh, he's just having trouble. He's not syncing up or whatever. And like, it's not like the guy is terrible. It's not like he forgot how to play football, mm-hmm. but he falls so far down on the draft. It's like, well, he was supposed to go in the 10th and he dropped all the way to the 15th, but you can get him in the 15th. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if he pays off, that's amazing. So you're right. Use it to your advantage. This was fun. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is fun.
We should do this again sometime. Do you want to tell the people about what you do, pitch your lab or something like that?
Sure. Yeah. I run the Party Lab, right? The Positive Augmented Research Development Lab at Cal State Northridge. Essentially, we develop augmented reality applications for aging adults and their families and get students involved doing this. So yeah, just check it out. I guess I'll send you the post on our site. It's pretty cool stuff we do. And also we do these light board studios that I want everybody to check out. It's pretty cool. Maybe we'll do one together. That'd be dope. But essentially it's writing on a big pane of glass to describe concepts and just like visualizing it. And especially this whole COVID situation, just finding ways to connect to people virtually. That's a really tough thing, right? So yeah. I want to show that off and just showing off like what we do at Cal State Northridge.
Yep. And you mentioned this earlier, and this is part of your personality. You love thriving in chaos is what I've heard you say before. And you've done a lot of cool stuff with your lab, and I think you really embrace this crazy world of COVID, and you're putting your lectures online, which is cool. And that's where you use the light board. Mm-hmm. They're up on YouTube. You're talking about a really cool subject that I don't think a lot of other people are doing or know about, which is aging, in particular, positive aging. Mm-hmm. So your lectures are online, and then on Twitter, where can people find you on Twitter?
So you could find me at Prof T Chan.
So, Prof T Chan.
Prof T Chan. Yeah. Zigging when everybody's zagging, like you said, that's the that's best. Right. That's my life philosophy.
There you go. You can find the show on Twitter at Head Game Psych. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Brett Levine. Thanks as always to Joshy Boy, Josh Baca, and Gladdy Ice for putting together today's show. And thanks for listening and or watching.